I want to talk about a way of approaching the care for people who are depressed. The title for this talk really came out of an article that I did for Table Talk magazine that has just come out, and the whole magazine is on depression. So if you get Table Talk or, you know, ever have opportunity to look at it, there's an article there that Ed Welch and I primarily wrote, looking at two different articles, looking at the cure for depression. Let's take a moment to pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son suffered great anguish of soul so that we could be assured of your love and concern and providential care for us. Thank you. And Lord, thank you that although some of us might struggle with depression from time to time, you have at least sustained us to the place that we are able to be here. Thank you for that. Thank you for your loving kindness and mercy that you have spread so bountifully over our lives. Lord, I pray that now your name and the honor and glory of your Son would be exalted in our hearts and minds, and that you would help us, Lord. Please help us to think clearly. Please help us to understand truth. Please help us to have faith that you can change hearts, you can change lives, and that we can be involved in that. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a sense, of course, in which depression is spiritual. I mean, if you look at what's actually going on in the heart of the majority of people who are depressed, you would say there is, of course, a component of the spiritual in depression. I don't want you to be sidetracked by this title. Of course, Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote the seminal work on spiritual depression, a wonderful, wonderful book, still just as delightful and meaningful as it was when it was written. So don't be sidetracked by, okay, why are we saying spiritual depression instead of depression? I just want you to think, though, that generally speaking, there is a sense in which our relationship to God, what we think God thinks of us, what we think God asks of us, is involved in every depression. So depression, while not necessarily always being the result of sin, it can always have a spiritual component. So let's talk a little bit about this. You guys are all track four. You've done lots and lots of seminars by now on depression. I want to change things up a little bit. And for those of you who were in here last night, you already know where I'm going to go, because I think that one of the things that we are doing is when we get around to helping people, like let's say a depressed person, when we begin to help him and talk to him about what needs to change in his thinking and his behavior, one of the things that I think we overlook is Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to do is spend a little bit of time, if you will, talking about the gospel and how the gospel impacts the depressed person. Because basically, I am a one-act pony at this point. In my life, I have spent the last year and a half, at least, doing nothing but considering the love of God for me in Christ Jesus. And how I get to do that as my employment, I don't know. God is very kind. But I have just written a book that will be out in May, entitled Because He Loves Me, How Christ Transforms Our Daily Life. And I have begun to look at how God's love for us in Christ, because of the gospel, through the gospel, because we are in Jesus, how that then should impact every single area of counseling that we're normally involved in. Now, I would wager, and I'm not a betting person, and I get really flipped out about gambling, so you don't want to start me on that. But anyway, I would bet that for many of us, the gospel doesn't even enter into the discussion when we're talking to people who are depressed. And so what I want to do maybe is switch things up a little bit in your thinking. If you let me maybe open a little window and say, okay, I think that you folks probably really do have a good understanding of what the put-offs and the put-ons are when it comes to dealing with someone with depression. I think that, I mean, I'm going to assume that about you. You are all track four. We will get to some of that, but I'm already coming to you with that assumption. What, however, I'm not assuming about you is that the part of that passage in Ephesians 4 where it talks about putting on and putting off, there is also another component there. And the component is to be renewed in your mind, in the attitude of your mind, to be renewed in the attitude of your mind. And I think that it's so important for this mind renewal to happen in light of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to open a little bit of a door, I hope, and give you perhaps another way to look at what you're doing in counseling. But let's start out just with some basic information, and then we'll get to the considering Jesus part of what we have to do. The remedy du jour for treating depression medicinally has specific unbiblical assumptions. And you were all in here yesterday when I talked about these unbiblical assumptions, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. The first unbiblical assumption is that depression always has its genesis within the body. And we would militate against that. We wouldn't say, I don't want to say that it never does, but what I want to say is I'm going to disagree with the materialist who says that depression always originates in the brain, which is part of the outer body, right? Part of the outer man. A materialist, and the way that depression is treated in our culture makes another assumption that we do not have an inner invisible mind that directs brain activity. Right? And yesterday we talked a lot about that, so you are all on the same page. Well, you may agree or disagree, but at least you know what I'm talking about. If it is true that the genesis of all of our uncomfortable feelings, including depression, if its genesis is always within the brain and not the mind or the inner person, you know, there's a difference between the brain and the mind. Not the mind, the inner person, the soul, the heart, the affections, the desires, the inner person. If your depression has its genesis there, then anesthetizing that, those uncomfortable feelings, is wise and kind as well, right? I mean, if your depressed thoughts originate because your brain is whacked, then let's fix your brain, right? I mean, and that's the kind thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It would be unkind for me to withhold pain medicine from someone who has a broken arm. I want to give pain medicine to the person. Oh, you and your little broken arm. I want to give pain medicine to that person, but I think it's probably also a good idea to fix the broken arm. So it's unkind and unwise if, in fact, our brains are